Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, basically anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you'll find links not only this show, but some of our other shows like the Multiverse Fancast and MF Uncensored. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul. With me via the Zoom studio and from your mom's diary is Sean. Sean, how are you today?
I'm wonderful, Paul. How are you?
I'm so fantastic. And you know what? I feel like I could just sing about it. I'm so happy.
Oh, really? We should look into that profession. I think you'd be a good one.
Only at weddings and only if Boy George is in the band as well.
That's true. But bat mitzvahs too.
Oh, and bat mitzvahs. Yes. Obviously. Only when I'm feeling down.
Yeah.
So if you guys have not...
And Jewish families celebrate, man. That's a good gig.
They party hard. If you guys have not figured out what we are talking about, we are talking because it is, as Sean pointed out before we started recording, so you guys obviously don't know, it's February. It's a time of love and Valentine's. And what better time to look back at some of our favorite romantic comedies, romantic horrors? We'll find one. But we are looking today at 1998's The Wedding Singer. Sean, tell me about The Wedding Singer.
The Wedding Singer, Paul. Well, it's... arguably, I don't know, I know you probably don't agree with me, but it's arguably Adam Sandler's best movie.
You're right, I don't agree with you.
I know you don't agree with me because you have this, you know, obsession with Billy Madison.
We talked to Larry Hankin.
So?
He was in the movie.
Okay, that's, you know, good for him.
Hey, Sean, who would win in a fight? Billy Madison or Happy Gilmore?
Happy Gilmore.
I don't know, he couldn't beat Bob Barker.
But I still think Happy Gilmore's got that rage. I don't think Billy Madison had it in him.
I don't think he would feel any pain.
He had to be saved by Steve Buscemi, for crying out loud. Come on.
There's Steve Buscemi with a gun.
Yeah.
And also, fun fact, Steve Buscemi is an active firefighter and responded during the 9/11 attacks. So he is a hero. Not the best actor, but a great hero.
Oh, don't say that. Steve Buscemi is God's gift, man.
Oh, he's God's gift?
God's gift.
Fun fact.
He was hysterical.
So, fun fact. If you guys go onto our YouTube channel, we posted a short about the topic was, is Pauly Shore a good actor? Oh, my God. The response week. Because we were talking about a Goofy movie.
Okay.
The title was, is Pauly Shore funny? And oh, my God. We got 7,000 views on that one short. And people were like, Pauly Shore's a national treasure. I was like, I didn't know there were so many Shore fans out there. Like, who knew?
Well, I mean, again, I think it's people who are older than us, because obviously his movies were early 90s. So we were, you know, still young at that time. But like, you know, 80s kids, I mean, he had that stretch, man, where he was big.
Yeah, apparently our friend Daniela was a big fan as well. So she
that says a lot right there.
Right there, yeah.
That's so much.
We love you, mean it. But anyway, all right, so let's get back to this movie. So
yes,
I will agree that this was, when you talk about Adam Sandler's quality work, right, especially in terms of his comedies, I do agree. This is probably in his top five of his better work. I feel like, because he's a little bit more reserved in it. Like, he's not Billy Madison. He's not Happy Gilmore. He's not so much the man child in this. And he's a relatable guy in this. And I think Adam Sandler's actually really charming when he wants to be.
No, I totally absolutely agree with you. And this was the first movie where you were like, wow, he can be an actual romantic comedy lead. He fit that mold. Like, you know, I had seen this is actually the first Adam Sandler movie I saw in theaters, but I had seen Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore beforehand, you know, on video. And you know, you don't know what you're walking into. And then the opening scene, and he's singing, and I'm like, I never heard him sing before except for the Hanukkah song. That's like, you know, anybody can sing the Hanukkah song. It's not the hardest song to sing. But like, he's singing, you know, Right Round, and it's like,
and it's him.
It's him. And it's like, wow, that's really good. And, you know, throughout the whole movie, he has a couple of scenes where he's singing and you're like, damn, this guy's got a good voice. And, you know, I could see why Drew Barrymore's fallen in love with him, because he's not a man child.
Yeah. So obviously, when we get into the plot of it, we'll talk a little bit more. But he is like, you know, he's a poor wedding singer. Like, that's what he does. He lives in his sister's basement. And, you know, he's just a nice guy, though. That's the thing.
Nice guy who just wants to be married.
Yeah. And, he, you know, he's a hopeless romantic. I mean, who couldn't relate to that, especially, you know, back in the day? Like, but I think this movie is in, you got to bear with me as I work through this process. This movie is a lot like The Cable Guy, where the Cable Guy comes out after Jim Carrey's funny, big, funny movies. This movie is very different than his previous movies. Because I think up to this point, I don't know where his career was. I know obviously SNL was like his big, you know, big startup. But I want to say he definitely had both Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore under his belt before this. I'm trying to think.
They were before, and then he had done the movie Bulletproof with Damon Wayans, which is like, I guess you could say it was like an action comedy.
Yeah, so his first film role was Going Overboard in 1989. And then he did Shakes the Clown, he's in Coneheads. I totally forgot about that.
Like 5 seconds.
Yeah, Airheads, Mixed Nuts, and then Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, Bulletproof, and The Wedding Singer. And then after this, oh yeah, he cameos in Dirty Work.
Yeah, Billy Madison was his true starring lead role where he was a known commodity. I mean, Going Overboard, he hadn't even been on SNL yet. That was, you know, kind of like one of those movies where no one knew what it was beforehand. And it's like the Broken Lizard movie that we saw.
Tunnel Cruiser or something like that.
Tunnel Cruiser. It's like it comes out after he becomes a big star. Hey, it's the star of Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison in his first ever movie that no one ever saw when it originally came out.
Right.
Come and rent it.
Oh, you know, God. It was so bad.
You know, I've actually just watched on YouTube an interview on Howard Stern with Drew Barrymore, and she actually went to Adam Sandler and was like, I really want to do a movie with you. Because this is Drew Barrymore, like, right before this movie reinvented Drew Barrymore.
Right.
And this is the movie that brought her back into the mainstream. She had really been falling off. You know, she had done Scream, which was like a huge cameo, but she really wasn't someone that Hollywood was really, you know, big into having be a leading lady. And it was really a movie. And then she did the Cinderella movie right after it. And she hasn't really looked back since.
Yeah. The problem with Drew Barrymore was she was dealing with a lot of addiction issues and a lot of psychosis. Like, what was it? Like Letterman? She like jumped up on the desk and flashed and stuff like that. Yeah. Like,
I think she had cleaned up at the time of this movie. I think she was fully good by the time this book came out. And then look where she went. I mean, she went into Charlie's Angels, for crying out loud. I mean,
I would argue between Wedding Singer and Charlie's Angels, that's when Drew Barrymore's reinvention came along. She was a bankable actress in Hollywood again, very similar to Robert Downey Jr. when he did Iron Man finally. Like, you know, you got these actors who they were bad ideas to hire.
Like, people were bad ideas to hire, or they were like, what do you call it? What's the word I'm looking for?
If I knew the word, I would have said it because I said bad ideas to hire. Like that was
but not even a bad idea, but like a risk.
Yeah.
Risky hires. You know, I think like you just said, Robert Downey Jr., like Risky Hire would have been like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Like that was the movie that really kind of was like, oh crap, Downey looks good. He can act, you know, okay, maybe we can try him out in something else. You know, this was the movie where people were like, oh crap, Drew Barrymore's, you know, she's like the girl next door. All right, let's put her in a Cinderella movie back in, you know, the 1700s and see how that does.
Well, I mean, this movie alone, you also got Adam Sandler playing the boy next door. Like they both created these personas in this movie. Adam Sandler, especially because like we said, Drew Barrymore, she had kind of fallen off Hollywood's radar. Like we still knew her from like the kid in E.T. Like we knew her from the one. But so like playing a cute character, and I don't mean it in terms of how they look. I mean it more in terms of like their type of character, but like wasn't a stretch for Drew Barrymore. Like it was easy to process, but having Adam Sandler really be like, cause like Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore aren't good people. Like they're likable in most regards, especially I would say more Happy Gilmore because like, you know, he's trying to save his grandma's house and all that, but he's still like an ass. But this was the first character that he really did that broke that typing. And he's done it a few times. Obviously, his man-child persona is very popular. They've done a ton of movies. Like, you know, as much as That's My Boy is a bad movie, it was the epitome of his man-child persona. And he hasn't really done it since because that didn't land. There is a such thing as too far with stuff like that.
Well, I thought That's My Boy was kind of like taking his Billy Madison character and timesing it to the umpteenth degree, and it just, as you said, it really just didn't land, or maybe just that humor just wasn't there when the movie came out. I also think that movie was poorly written, but you know, I agree. Yeah, that was kind of him going like, wow, I haven't done this character in a long time, let me like go full overboard, please.
But I think this movie gave him the possibility to do other roles like Grown Ups and Grown Ups 2, and then eventually what was the Diamond movie that he was in? Help me out here.
Uncut Gems.
Yeah, like so he's a bankable actor, but at the same time, he also doesn't care. I love Adam.
That's true.
Like Adam Sandler has said it more than once. He's like, I get paid stupid money to hang out with my friends and do whatever we want. Like, I've got it. You know, yeah. You see him walking down the streets of New York City, he's wearing like sweatpants and a baggy sweatshirt. Like he is the ideal movie, like the ideal actor in terms of certain things. And that is like, he's likable, he's relatable. And I think it's kind of like Keanu Reeves. Everybody knows Keanu Reeves is the nicest guy in the whole world. And that makes him more likable on screen, even though he's killing thousands of people actively, sometimes with things that explode. Like we're like, yay, Keanu, kill the bad guys. Like, you just hit him with a car and then had a dog bite him. Okay, yeah. Like, we're cool with that because it's Keanu Reeves. So yeah. I think Adam Sandler is just such a likable guy. And I feel like he'd be so much fun to hang out with.
I agree. And even when you look at this movie, there are a couple scenes in this movie where his man-child persona kind of comes out, but not much. I mean, it basically, dialed back. When he's singing the song to Julia, you know, the Belinda song, And that's about it, honestly. Other than that, he is a normal guy.
One of my favorite lines in the entire movie is when she comes to explain to him why she left him. And he's like, again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday.
I remember that from the trailer. And I'm like, oh, this is Adam Sandler. There's the Adam Sandler. And I was like, oh, okay, it's just going to be an Adam Sandler movie.
And it's funny because they cut the trailer to the cable guy to show Jim Carrey being funny. That's how they made the trailers.
Oh, absolutely. I totally get that. And I don't know, but the funny thing is about this movie, like before we started, I was reading and the reviews weren't all that favorable. It was a very mixed reaction to this movie. And I'm kind of shocked by that because, you know, I feel like this movie has become, you know, again, one of his more beloved films. 50 First Dates, their other movie the two of them did together. It's tough. The two of them are very good. And you can argue two of the best endings to a romantic comedy, you know, in movies. I mean, you know, the ending of 50 First Dates. I mean, if you don't shed a tear at that, then you're just not human.
Yeah, that one's rough.
And then the ending to this movie I'd say it's adorable. It's cute. You know, it's basically one of the better ways you could see someone saying they love someone. You know,
yeah. And plus nobody talks to Billy Idol that way. So it's funny because like that's when they did that movie Blended. You remember that one? They based a lot of the marketing off of Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler in a movie together. And unfortunately, Blended didn't go well. Like it wasn't that good. It was very much in his. He also did Just Go With It recently to that. They were kind of the same movie, same tone, same vibe, same character he was playing. But
that was one of his last movies before his deal with Netflix, I believe.
Something like that. But now it's him and Jennifer Aniston. They're a great pair.
Yeah,
too.
Him and Jennifer Aniston have become a good pairing with the murder mystery films. And then they did. It was Just Go With It. Was the one that they first did together, I think.
Yeah,
I've seen the first murder mystery. It was actually pretty good. I enjoyed that one.
I heard it's a sequel.
But first of all, I remember this movie I think it was like, I don't know if it beat Titanic, but it was one of the first movies to challenge Titanic at the box office.
Right.
Because it was early 98. And of course, Titanic came out in like December of 97. So, you know, no movie stood a chance at this time. So I don't think it beat it, but it was pretty damn close. It was one of the first movies that were like, people were like, no, we'll go see this movie instead. But did you see it in theaters?
Oh, no.
Really?
No, I saw this well after it was done in theaters. Like my family was not, which is ironic. My family was not a big movie going family. Like they channeled all that into me, apparently. Now here I am on a podcast talking about movies. Sean, we've made it. We made it to the big time.
Yeah. It's amazing, sir.
Our YouTube channel is officially monetized. I won't tell you how much we're making, but it's game changing.
Are we like doing better than the residuals? People getting the residuals from Netflix? Like,
it's hard. It's terrifying to say that maybe. Like some of those actors are getting jack and or nada. But anyway. All right. So let's jump into the cast of this movie. Obviously, we have talked ad nauseum about Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore, but you want to give us some of the other cast members?
Yes, sir. We have the beautiful Christine Taylor as Holly Sullivan, Julia's cousin. This is Christine Taylor. This is after both Brady Bunch movies, so that's really what she'd been really known for.
And Hey Dude.
Oh, Hey Dude, yes.
Hey Dude, yep.
Which I think the whole cast of Hey Dude, fun fact, is going to be at one of the conventions coming up.
Either Awesome Con or 90s Con. They're a week apart.
One of them. Yeah, I saw a clip on a thing on Facebook about it.
We're going to both, just so you know.
Oh, good. Good for you guys, sir. Enjoy.
You guys should come.
We're thinking. We're talking about it. So, yeah, we have Christine Taylor. We have Alan Covert. You may not recognize the name for all you out there, but you know who Alan Covert is. He's in every Adam Sandler movie known to man. He plays Sammy, Robbie's best friend.
I would say that this movie, he has his biggest role in an Adam Sandler movie. Like, arguably. A lot of times he's got very small roles, but I feel like
it's weird. It changes up, obviously, because of the plots. You got to find the best role for him to fit. And this was, I think you're right. I think this is the first movie he was in, because, no, he was in Happy Gilmore. I apologize. Was he in Billy Madison? I don't remember him in Billy Madison.
That's a great question that I'm definitely not checking right now.
He plays the caddy, who's unrecognizable in Happy Gilmore. And then, you're right, I think this is like his biggest character in any of the Adam Sandler films, where he's in the movie pretty much a good amount of time.
All right, so you ready? You ready? I got it. He was in Going Overboard. He was in Ferris Bueller, which is hilarious. I would have to take a look. Heavyweights, obviously, one of our favorites. Happy Gilmore, The Wedding Singer, The Waterboy, Never Been Kissed, Big Daddy. I'm just trying to find like the Adam Sandler-ish movies. Little Nicky, Deuce Bigelow, Male Chicolo. let's see. Mr. Deeds, Eight Crazy Nights, Anger Management, 51st Dates, The Longest Yard. I don't remember him in The Longest Yard. Oh, he's the ref. That's right. Grandma's Boy. Let's see.
You've been Chuck and Larry.
Chuck and Larry. Just going down this list, and I'm trying. Grown Ups, Just Go With It.
Funny People.
I see. It's funny. We didn't even, Jack and Jill. Ugh. But we didn't even talk about like Adam Sandler. His worst movie. One of his worst movies. I hate Funny People.
I think we've talked about this numerous times. How we had such high hopes for that movie, and that movie just shit on our dreams.
The stand up comedy bits were really good, but they were so few and far between.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, the Alan Covert is one of those guys who you recognize as you progressively watch of all of Adam Sandler's movies. And he's funny. I mean, and I think his only starring role, honestly, is Grandma's Boy. And we, as everybody knows, we love that movie. We will never say a bad thing about that movie. But he's one of those actors that is very good in a small role most of the time. I think he did a good job in Grandma's Boy, but you can definitely tell that leading a movie is not his, you know, not probably best for him, but he just plays these quirky characters a lot of times. But this, and like Adam Sandler in Wedding Singer, plays just a normal best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Got a few quirks about him, but for the most part, you know, they just are true good friends, and he's just got some good funny moments with them in the movie.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going down this list.
Keep going, sir. We have Angela Featherstone as Linda, Robbie's former fiance, now ex-girlfriend. We have Matthew, I'm going to say Glave, as Glenn Guglia, a businessman and Julia's fiance.
I like him. He's one of those actors that kind of pops up every once in a while. And I remember the first movie that I really remember him from besides this is Corky Romano. And it's so bad. I love Corky Romano.
We have Alexis Arquette as George Stitzer, the keyboardist and singer in Robbie's band, who was clearly modeled to look like Boy George for the point of singing their famous song. We have Frank Severo as Andy, Kate's husband and Robbie's brother-in-law. He's funny because he's like that. He's got like that mob look to him. I mean, I think he was on The Sopranos as well. But yeah, he's got that funny, you know, like Italian look to him that just clearly, you know, stereotypical, you know, kind of guy. We have Christina Pickles as Angie Sullivan, Julia's mother. And that's honestly about it. We do have some cameos, obviously Billy Idol playing himself at the end of the movie.
Right.
Another SNL alum, Kevin Nealon as Mr. Sims, who is has a job interview with Robbie at the near the end of the movie. And then Robert Smigel as Andre the cook.
Oh, God.
I love that.
Let's not forget John Lovitz as Jimmy Moore.
Oh, John Lovitz, you're right. And then, okay, here they have.
I think he's only in the like one and a half.
One scene. Yeah. And then Steve Buscemi has a very memorable scene at the beginning, playing the brother of the
truck brother.
So good.
All right, so let's do a very quick, like, we're not going to go through the whole plot as per usual, but so the movie is very simple in its premise. Basically, Robbie Hart is a wedding singer. He works at pretty much at the same venue.
He used to be like a I don't know if he was famous, but he used to be a lead singer of like a rock band. They do mention that.
Yeah. So he's performing and, you know, he's getting married the next day. Like, that's it. So imagine working the day before your wedding. Oh God, my wife would have killed me, murdered me to death. All right. Anyway, fast forward. So he meets Julia that same night and she's also engaged. She's a new waitress there. Her friend, played by Christine Taylor, Holly, gets her the job there, and it's Julia's cousin. I always forget that they're actually related. So yeah. The movie starts off like they had their little meet cutes and stuff like that. And like, he's like the nice guy. He helps like the kid who gets sick and, you know, like, for, you know, kind of helps Julia out a little bit, but
saves the wedding. Cause the Steve Buscemi almost destroys the wedding.
Ruins the toast. Yeah. Ruins the toast. But so we establish these characters very early on. Unfortunately for Robbie, he then gets left at the altar, and like his biggest dream of moving, like starting a life, getting married, done. And yeah, it sucks. And like, literally she's like, she wanted him to still be a rock star and hates the idea of just being married to a wedding singer. So he gets depressed and he stops going to weddings. He starts doing bar mitzvahs. And I think honestly, the scene of the kid grabbing Julia's ass is probably the most iconic scene from this movie.
Oh, it's a great scene. It's a funny scene.
That's the same kid who Cake had
in Matilda. Oh yeah, Bruce Bogtrotter.
I love how you remember that name. That's wild.
That's a name you don't forget. Bruce.
I love it. But yeah, so we get a little bit more like the two of them kind of connect, but Julie is having trouble planning for the wedding, and we get introduced to her fiance, who is the worst. He is the
typical 80s.
Yep. Oh, he's like an 80s villain that grew up. Like, that's what he is. He drives a DeLorean because he has to. And doesn't he do something with, what does he do? Like music or a businessman?
But he buys a CD player. Like, he walks into their house with a CD player and it's like, she's like, oh, we'll play some records. And he goes, no, it's a CD player. It's CDs. And I'm like, did you bring CDs? Because obviously, you know,
but
doesn't play a record. So.
He's a bondsman. That's what he does. He does stock bonds. And that's why Robbie at one point goes to the bank to try and get a job. So he's literally the worst. And his last name is Gulia. Glenn Gulia. So obviously his parents hated him as well. Because if you're going to do an alliterative name like that, it is terrible. I would rather be called Peter Parker, Wade Watts, you know, anything. Matt Murdock. You could like Glenn Gulia, like, oh no. Of course he's going to be a bully because he's a terrible person named Glenn Gulia. Anyway, but the movie is really, it's two stories. It's Julia getting married to Glenn and then realizing that she doesn't love Glenn. All right. And then it's Robbie getting over the depression of being left at the altar. And the two of them start off with a really nice friendship. And, you know, he kind of helps her not get swindled by a lot of the wedding places because he knows everyone. Like, nice guy, like the nicest guy. Say something. I'm going
to
cry.
Oh, I'm sorry. You were on a streak there. I was just like really, really just wanted to listen.
I love the tone.
You see the progression. You see clearly that he's falling in love with her and she's got, you know, real good feelings for him. And cousin Holly, she sees it immediately to the point where she actually takes him out on a date because she knows it's going to annoy Julia.
Yeah.
And that's where we really learn truly how bad Glenn is, because he's clearly hitting on other women right in front of him. He's, you know, saying, you know, derogatory things about her, and you really know right then and there that this guy is no good.
Bad news. Yeah. And it wasn't until Julia's trying on her wedding dress and she's saying her last name, what it's going to be, the Julia Gould. That seems like a test. She kills it with
she is great job. And then she starts obviously saying, you know, as if she was marrying Robbie, and she's immediately happy. And I love that scene because he's walking around. Looks like he was going to go
and express
to the house to be like, hey, I'm, you know, falling in love with you. And he sees her so happy in the window. He's like, I can't do this to her, not knowing that she's thinking of him while she's being happy. I mean, really, this movie really does. It's like one of those perfectly constructed, you know, romantic comedies. It really is. It's just you're rooting for both of them. There's hurdles and obstacles in their way, but you know, it makes it all the better when they finally do get together.
which they do on the plane, which is hilarious because after a series of misunderstandings, including Linda answering the, because basically Robbie, after he gets quote unquote dejected by Julia inadvertently, he gets drunk, gets his ass kicked by Glenn, and comes home and there's Linda waiting for him because she's a terrible person.
Yeah.
And so he passes out. She answers the door when Julia goes to express her love. And she's like, oh, no, it's Linda. You're the worst. Thinking they got back together. So she goes and she convinces Glenn that they should just fly to Vegas and get married. And somehow, and this is obviously pre-9/11 because there's no safety security on this plane. He gets on that same plane somehow.
But you bypass, I think one of the funniest lines in the movie is when he wakes up and he's just like, why are you here? I don't want no part of you. Please leave. And then also, will you take off my Van Halen t-shirt before you jinx the band and they break up?
Yep. Yep. Oh, it's one of the best things ever. I forgot about that.
I love that.
So he gets on the plane and
he's in first class.
Because it's the only ticket left. Can you, dude, I've got more love for you than anybody. You're like a brother to me. But if you looked over your shoulder and said, hey, I need a first class ticket, I would say, you need a better job. And then I'd leave. Like, no.
The funny thing is, he goes, like, can I borrow your credit card? He goes, you're gonna pay me back, right? He goes, nah. No. But if you don't give it to me, I'll just tell everybody what you said at the bar last night.
And he was wearing the Michael Jackson jacket too. But so it gets on the plane, but they do a very good job making it seem like it's two different flights because they keep doing cuts of the plane, like transitions of a plane in the air. So it makes it creates the illusion that they're on separate flights. And then it isn't until, so like he's telling everybody in first class what's going on and they're all enamored, including Billy Idol. And so the stewardess comes up and they're all talking about this. And she mentions the line that Glenn uses on women. And like, Robbie's like, oh my God, they're on this plate. And I love everybody's reaction. No,
no way.
It's so 90s and 80s. I love it. You guys got to help me. Right. Just.
Yeah. Let's hack the PA system. And
they don't even hack it. The steward,
I know, they just
phone off and gives it to Billy Idol. And obviously, like he starts singing the song that he had written for Julia, which you see him writing earlier and in the car ride there. So he starts singing and he comes out and Glenn wakes up because Glenn was out cold. And
nobody was. He was full of crap. He was just pretending.
Just pretending to sleep. He was just acting.
Well, because like she says, he hits on him, and then 5 seconds later, he looks in the back and he's asleep because he doesn't want to.
Oh, he didn't want to know. So he comes out, he has the song, and like Glenn goes to kick his ass, and everybody's like against Glenn because he was just such an ass. Excuse me, sir, I have to serve the beverages. And then Billy Idol is like, chicken or fish? Eh. He's like,
get him away from Billy Idol that way.
Oh, it's still the best. And yeah, they admitted their feelings for each other. It's a very nice, happy end. Like, this is a happy movie.
Yes, absolutely.
Not a Happy Gilmore movie, in case you guys were curious. Or it's a Happy Madison movie, because that's his production company. I don't think it was at the time.
No, I don't think Madison came about until a couple movies later.
Yeah. But Star City rating for The Wedding Singer.
I give this movie a 4.5.
Whoa, that is a big one for you, Sean.
I'll stand by it. I think it's my favorite Adam Sandler movie.
Wow. Sean, you're making some bold statements, sir. I like it. All right. But I think I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay.
All right. It is a very good movie. I do really enjoy it. I'm weird when it comes to Adam Sandler, where I'm like, I like the doofy humor like way more than I probably should. So for me, it's like it's not the ideal Adam Sandler. Like if I'm going to put on an Adam Sandler movie, it's probably not going to be this one, but I still love it so much.
This movie was made on a budget of $18 million. I mean, think of that. I mean, nowadays, Adam Sandler's probably making, I don't know how much his deal with Netflix is, but I mean, he makes probably more than that on just one movie.
And the fact that on that such a small budget, it killed it, right? If memory serves.
Yeah, and it grossed worldwide $123 million, and that's in 1998, you know.
Wild. I love it.
And then you would get your wish. His next film, he would harken back to his, you know, I guess you could say dumber humor, and that was The Waterboy. Because I remember The Waterboy came out, I'm like, what the F is this? This is nothing like the Wedding Singer.
I love.
I know The Waterboy is a great movie, don't get me wrong, but it was just, it really showed, because like he would do, I think after Wedding Singer, I think he realized, like, I'm good at this, but I don't want to leave the humor that got me famous. So he would do like Wedding Singer, then he would do Waterboy. Then he does Big Daddy, which you could say is very similar to Wedding Singer. He plays a normal kind of guy, you know, and it's got that, you know, sort of dramatic-ish feel to it. And then he goes from Big Bad Daddy to Little Mickey.
Love Little Mickey.
I love Little Mickey.
We're eventually going to have that episode. But
that movie is so stupid, but it is just a trip. It's a trip. I love it.
All right. So we do have our Fan Feedback Friday this week, and this one was a lot of fun. This week, who is the greatest movie detective? All right. Mm-hmm. So I have Sam Spade. I have Inspector Clouseau. Let's see. I have Dirty Harry. Matthew Broderick's Inspector Gadget. That one was for you, buddy. Sherlock Holmes and Hercule Poirot. I don't know who that is, man.
Poirot. Murder on the Orient Express.
Okay. This one you're like, The Great Mouse Detective.
Your wife is a gem, because I would have put that if she didn't put that.
Dick Tracy. Sherlock Holmes. Nightwing from Batman. Okay. And
did anyone put Batman?
No, but my wife also put Detective Pikachu. So, well done. Well done, Producer Melanie. But that is going to take us towards the end of our episode. If you guys are interested in Fan Feedback Friday, every Friday, usually between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, you'll find it on our Facebook page. Just type in Cinematic Adventures. If you want more of our content, we're on all the social media, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. Just type in The Misfit Faction or Cinematic Adventures, and odds are you'll find some of our stuff. But that is going to wrap us up for today. As always, I'm Paul.
I'm Sean.
And we'll see you guys next time.